full team back here shortly. In 2018, when Pastor Parsley was here for Fire and Glory, God did something. That international mantle that we were connected to lit something up. And immediately the Holy Spirit picked two. I get requests all the time from everywhere around the world. I get tons of them. And I have to tell some of the folks, thank you, and I have to ignore others. Just pray for them. Because there are some people who just, they don't got money and they smell money and they want money, and there's also scammers out there. And the Lord said, vet these two men. I prayed and prayed and their names came up and we began to vet them. And the Holy Spirit said, you're going to go to Africa. And then prophetess felt that in the spirit and she came to me. She said, Apostle, you're going to Africa. It's going to happen. And so we began to plan that direction. And the Lord said, go ye into all the world and make disciples. Make disciples. And see, our kingdom principles that was ignited that day, because we were just here. We were one church, Eagle Heights Worship Center, fellowshipping with some other great churches. But then God exploded us. He said, go ye into all the world and make disciples of Christ, teaching the kingdom of God. See, I don't teach the American gospel. I teach the kingdom of God. And so these are the principles of God. Love, faith, caring, sharing, generosity, compassion, truth. We are commanded to live by these. And so when we do, something powerful happens. I want to just share with you the scriptures just for a moment. In Mark 16 and verse 14, could we stand for the reading of this? This set up everything that we're going to read in a moment. This is a scripture that everyone wants to ignore when they're talking about the Great Commission. This is the scripture right before He told them to go. Let us read it. Still later, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief. Wait a minute. The verse before He sends them, Sister Lolita, they're busy eating. Let's read it again from the top. Still later, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen Him after He'd been raised from the dead. He rebuked them for them not receiving the reports of supernatural resurrection power. He said, I cannot send you if you don't believe in my resurrection. I cannot send you if you don't believe in my supernatural power. I cannot send you. You've been with me all this time. You've raised the dead. You saw me raise the dead. You've gone in and you've cast out devils. You've healed the sick. You've seen multiplication of bread. But you can't believe I got up. Ooh, turn to somebody and say, He's calling for folks who believe in His supernatural power. Ooh, you may be seated. I'm going to keep right on reading. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Mark's gospel, the next two verses, and then Jesus told them. After the rebuke, he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe it will be condemned. That's pretty strong language. It's coming straight from Jesus. And then in Mark 16, later in verse 19 and 20, after He says, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, speak in tongues, take up serpents, knock them out of there, trample on them, and if you drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt you. Here's what they did now. They didn't stay there and say, well, why did He rebuke me? Look what they did. And then the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them. He was taken up into heaven, sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of God, and his disciples went where? His disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them and with them, confirming what they said by many what? Miraculous signs. If they had not believed in the supernatural, he would not have been able to confirm his word. If they didn't believe in healing, he would not have been able to confirm his word of healing. If they did not believe, they would not have had the power of confirmation. Somebody say, when you believe in the supernatural of God, you give him the power to confirm his word. Because he confirms it how? With signs and wonders and miracles and healings and salvations. The Bible goes on to say that in Matthew's Gospel 24, 12 through 13, sin will be rampant everywhere. How many know we see sin everywhere? And the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Then he goes on and continues, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world. Throughout where? The good news about the kingdom. Now, I want to qualify just for a moment, really quick, that there is the kingdom of God that is his sovereign and complete rule and reign. There is the kingdom of heaven, and that is that which is in heaven connected to earth. But there is also coming the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I go to my Father to receive my kingdom, because when he comes back, he's going to set up rule and reign in Jerusalem for 1,000 years and rule and reign on the throne of David, just as God promised, and he will be the ruling king of all the earth. Not Muhammad, not the communists, not the socialists, not anybody else, but King Jesus. Not the Antichrist, not the false prophet, but King Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, this good news will be preached around the world, and so all nations will hear it, and then what? Then the end will come. To Matthew 25, 31 through 40, we're going to read really fast. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, what? So if you don't believe in angels, you're going to have a hard time swallowing what you're seeing. When the Lord comes back in his glory, he's coming back with what? All the angels. He's coming back with what? All the angels. And some folk don't believe in that. They're going to be shocked. Woo, they're going to be shocked. What? I thought it was just Jesus, that loving Savior. No, see, he was the lamb for sinners slain. But when he comes back, he's coming back as the Lion of Judah to judge and make war. And then he will set upon his glorious throne, where? In New Jerusalem, where? New Jerusalem. All the nations, all the people of every nation will be gathered in his presence. And he will separate the people as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. What's the difference? Sheep only eat sheep food. Goats will eat anything. So if you run into somebody that they're busy chewing on anything, they're probably a goat. But if they're busy chewing on what the Lord gives in green pastures, they're probably a sheep. Amen? Now I'm going to go a little further of how you can tell the difference. Because then the king, as he separated some to his right and some to his left, he said to those sheep that are on his right side, he said, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. These are those that are going to rule and reign with Christ. And also, now here's some of the qualifications. He said, I was hungry. Who was hungry? King Jesus. King Jesus was hungry, and you fed me. King Jesus was thirsty, and you gave me drink. King Jesus was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. King Jesus was naked, and you gave me clothing. King Jesus was sick, and you cared for me. King Jesus was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Because no doubt if we saw you hungry, we would. When did we ever see you thirsty and have something to give you to drink? Because if we saw you thirsty, we would. Or a stranger and show hospitality. Or naked and give you clothing. When did we ever see you sick? Because, Lord, you were never sick. So when did we see you sick? Because this one's an impossibility. When did we see you in prison and visit you? The Romans didn't let us visit you. And those that didn't know at that time and lived in a different generation of time, we've never seen him in prison because he's the glorious Lord who is free all the time. And the king will say, I'll tell you the truth. How many knows there's power in the truth? When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. When you help one of your brothers and sisters, when they're hungry, you feed them. When they are thirsty, you give them the drink. When they're naked, you clothe them. When they are sick, you pray for their healing. When they're in prison, you go visit them. No matter what state you see these least of these, my brothers and sisters, you're doing it unto me. How many have ever gave to somebody when they were hungry? And Jesus said, you did that unto me. How many have ever visited somebody who was sick and prayed for them to be healed? The Lord said, you did that unto me. How many have ever visited a prisoner and said, and went and visited them? He said, you've done this unto me. How many have ever been part of the clothing giveaway and helped give clothing to the needy? And the Lord said, you've done this unto me. Well, I didn't know, Lord, that when I went in and got my pair of jeans and that good shirt that I was given to you, that's because you, if you believe you're given to the Lord, you won't get the raggedy ones. You'll get the ones that you can be proud of, because no matter how they look, you're giving to Jesus. Because when you show compassion to one of the least of these, you're doing it unto me. And when Jesus had heard what they were talking about in Luke 18:22, he said unto the man, you still, the one young ruler, you still lack one thing. You got all this other stuff going on, but you lack one thing. Sell everything you have and then give to the poor, because you're a stingy man. You ain't been giving to the poor. You ain't been helping nobody. And you will have treasure. What? You will have what? Somebody say, every time I've given, every time I've helped. See, this is not about you receiving. This is about what you gave. The Lord doesn't say, count up how many people blessed you, and that's how much treasure you have in heaven. He said, count up how many people you blessed, and you'll find how much treasure you have in heaven. And there's some of us building up some treasure. Oh, hallelujah. And then he said, come and follow me. Well, during that time back then, we decided we'd go and follow the Lord into a place we'd never been, 8,800 miles away, with no major organization helping us. Hallelujah. Just picking the brain of a few great men of God that knew some people and a few connections. We put it all together. We fundraised. We got our money together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And here is our team that went in 2019. Would you give God a praise? Two guys in the back row, you may not know who we are now because we've lost a little bit of weight. How much you down, Brother Dave? 65 pounds. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm down 70 from there. Praise the Lord. I'm not in competition. He looks good. I look good. See, the 5 pounds is how much taller I am than him. Hallelujah. Miss Brittany went with us. Man, that was a trip and a half. Hallelujah. 3 weeks in three nations, Kenya, Malawi, and Zambia. And Joseph got to go back with us. Praise the Lord. He's still looking as young as he did. Praise the Lord, back there in 2019. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, brother Joseph was our ace, because you see, he was born in Kenya. And so we didn't tell anybody. Hey, Bishop Festus, I was having Brother Joseph listen to all the conversations, make sure everybody was telling me the truth, because I didn't understand Swahili, but he did. And I go back to the hotel room and say, is that what they're saying? Did they get it right? Hallelujah. I was still vetting on the way over. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I appreciate all the small vehicles that we traveled in. I know we got a lot of folks here. I'd like to go with you on a trip. Apostle, I'd like to go with you over to Africa. But we've got to prepare a little bit because there's a vehicle and transportation because they are not used to what we do. All right. So anybody in here got a minivan or some kind of vehicle that has more than two seats in it? If you got something more than two seats in it, be prepared for 12 people in it. And to be squished because, see, everywhere you go, you got to have folks with you. And you got to have interpreter. And you got to have the folks that are clearing the path for you. Praise the Lord. And then plus your luggage. And Lord, we know Brother Joseph actually sat on top of luggage for one of those trips. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know we had the hump. And in one of the vehicles, we won't talk about that. They did their very, very best to honor us while we were there. And I'm so glad that they did. But I'm here to tell you that it ain't like being here. Somebody said, Apostle, would you like to drive in Nairobi? I said, absolutely not. I ain't touching the wheel. It's on the wrong side. And plus, this traffic ain't nothing like I've ever experienced in my life. I do not know how to weave in and out and then slam on the brakes for 450 goats that are crossing the street. No, I don't know how to do that. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we obeyed the Lord, and the Lord showed up. We obeyed the Lord with no money. We started obeying the Lord with absolutely no money, just the word of God. And with no experience of being over there, other than Brother Joseph having been born there and knowing something about Kenya. But had you ever been to Malawi? Had you ever been to Zambia? So we only had one out of the three that we had any type of experience that direction. I'm telling you that because sometimes when the Lord tells you to start researching and putting together to obey God, you may not have any experience to go on. You're going to have to find mentorship of somebody that has some experience, and still yet it's not your experience. That when God's taking you into somewhere brand new, you got to trust His supernatural ability to confirm His word. Amen. How is it? Some people said, how are you going to take a team of four? Have you ever been over there before? No, I've never been myself. You mean you haven't been yourself and you're going to take three others on the team? Yeah, because God said you got to take a team when you first go. So how are you going to take a team when you first go and you haven't been there and you got to be there and to know how to operate a team? I said, I'm going to get all the knowledge and possibility I can, and I'm going to do my very best, and God's going to help us. And God did help us. And we saw supernatural things take place. And so the nations now that we have churches in, because we were one church, and then literally with one trip, we were at 30 churches. Now we have churches in Kenya, Malawi, Uganda, and pastors in Mozambique and Tanzania that are now joining and coming on board. And some of those in Mozambique and Tanzania are in training right now. Praise the Lord. And we thank God for Apostle Willie in Uganda. Praise the Lord. And we thank God for my two sons in the Lord that are there, Bishop Festus Muasa, there in Nairobi, Kenya. Give God praise. And Bishop Chris Capito there in Balantra, Malawi. Give God praise. Hallelujah. And so let's take a little look at this trip and we'll go a little closer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And there's how you get to Nairobi. Glory to God. And yeah, amen. So here's what we got going on. Now we started and we had 13 churches that decided to come on board. In Kenya. We're at 33 churches right now in Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania. Hallelujah. Well, actually 33 churches there in Kenya, one more in Uganda. And we have another associated church with Deputy Bishop Gilbert that's there with a school in Nairobi, which we support. And then two orphanages there in Kenya. And our total members are over 800 that are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. They're underneath trained pastors that we are training with Bible schools. That Bishop Festus goes and he holds five Bible schools a year. That is the teaching of your apostle of the course we gave right here amongst our members at Eagle Heights Worship Center. Now that's all just fine and good on letters. Praise the Lord. But let's take a look. Here is some of the food that we helped in Samburu to give to the hungry out there in the wilderness. And this is one little precious one who received a meal and who needed it because there was much starvation there. This is our orphanage that has so richly been blessed since we've been connected that God is doing. We just provided 43 to 46, I'll get with Bishop Festus on this, of brand new uniforms for those children. You're seeing them handing out the uniforms and put them on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And to our children. These are children who do not have parents that have been picked up, and they are alone. Without this school, they would not make it. And they are taught the ways of the Lord. They're taught the schooling. And then there are those that go on from this school and actually score high enough to get into the other schools with high scores. And that's what they need to get scholarships because they have no money. Here they are for them rejoicing because along with the uniforms, we sent some goodie money, praise the Lord, for them to have a great meal and to have extra stuff and to have desserts, praise the Lord, and special treats. I knew Brother Dave would enjoy that because he's our soda pop treat man when he goes over there, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And here's some others of that time. This just happened. This was their pre-Christmas celebration right here that we made happen. Would you give God praise? Bishop Festus's children said, could Dad McClintock and Mom McClintock, could they buy us something for Christmas? And so we sent some money over. And they are proud of their brand new clothes, brand new shoes, brand new ball to play with. Would you give God praise? Hallelujah. And the littlest one is little Donald, which they named after me, born on my birthday time and named after me. Praise the Lord. Ain't God good? Now, the pictures that you see where these were taken are not taken from the place that's been rented in Nairobi. This has been taken because one of the businessmen here in Springfield and Brother Dave and Pastor Jason, myself, and a few of the partners that we had a little extra left over of stuff, and especially my family joining with these, we have sown. This is Bishop Festus family brand new house built from the ground up. Would you give God praise? Because when we were there in 2019, I said, everyone that's connected to me as a spiritual father, I built a house. You're going to build a house. Amen. They took that prophetic word, started working on it, got a contractor. They had a piece of land and a bunch of dirt. And then pretty soon they had some bricks out there. And now they've got that, plus they've got a water storage system to be able to store the water, because without that they wouldn't have any particular water system. But we thank God for what the Lord has done, because, folks, we have built our son, our bishop, there in Kenya. We have built him a proper home for him and his family. While feeding, praise the Lord. And you got to have the volume up, Miss Jasmine, on this. Not quite that loud. Would you blow some kisses their direction? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's those precious children that latched on to us while we were there. That's from our orphanage. Praise the Lord. Here's some of our children from the school that we actually got brand new books. And almost single-handedly, Brother David and Sister Mila, thank you so much for the money for books, because you made this happen at the school where we were at, where Miss Brittany got a chance to teach the lesson out of them raggedy old books. This is our second round of providing books for the school there in Nairobi, Kenya. Now, folks, this is not Upper Nairobi. This is not Middletown Nairobi. This is not Lower Town Nairobi. This is not Slum Nairobi. This is off of the pavement at the bottom of the slum of the slums, Nairobi. And since we have been connected, Bishop Gilbert, Deputy Bishop Gilbert, has been able to put brand new things. There's no more leaks in their little shed. The landlord wouldn't fix it, but we sent money, and they went out and did some work along with, and they produced and met us and matched us, and they got brand new shelter over top of them, and those kids that are in the slum of the slums can come in and rejoice because somebody loves them enough to help with brand new school equipment and meals and the rent there. Amen? Give God praise. Turn to somebody and say, we're making a difference. Now, everybody that's sowed is making a difference. And everyone is part of the church that's helped us in some way. But I'm here also to tell you, if you have not sown in some way, you're missing out on all the richness treasures that are happening in heaven. Hallelujah. So that was over 800 in the Kenya and Ugandan area. Praise the Lord. Now let's go to Malawi plus Mozambique. We have 30 churches right now led by Bishop Christopher Capito, and he just got a hold of me. He is a man of faith. He is a man that doesn't take no for an answer. It just a little bit of a delay, but he said, Papa, we are going to put together and we're going to train and launch another 30 churches. He said, before two more years is up, we are make sure we are double this size. And right now, Malawi EHWC in Mozambique is 4,500 members strong. We went from our little place and 30 churches total to now, what did we have in Kenya? 33 plus the one in Uganda, 34 plus the 30 now. That's 64 churches over there. Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise. Some of the challenges that the pastors, when I was on for the training session, said there's food shortages in many of the areas. For Christmas, they did not have any food. They went to bed hungry. We're trying to get supplies to them. Due to the pandemic, the transportation has been horrible, and the prices of food has gone up, and the expense has been heavy. They're trying to do good by planting their seed, but they need some fertilizer. And Bishop Chris said this, every pastor is either renting a garden or putting a garden in somewhere. They are trusting and believe God that they can raise some food and then sell it so they'll have money for Bibles. They want to become self-sustaining. So that we can go on to help build and help other churches while the churches that we've helped up until now become self-sustaining. The average income for an entire church, the entire church's tithes and offerings, that's with everybody doing their very best. This is with an average of 200 members or so. The folks that are there, that the highest one, there was two churches that were higher because they're in the bigger cities. But most of our churches in the Malawi area, their entire yearly church income is $55 for the entire year. That's with them doing everything they know how to do. And they teach tithing. And they teach giving, but the people only have so much when they're living off of just very little. We've seen it firsthand. How many on our team saw it firsthand? Praise. We preached where they had to come out with a little bit of water and so that I would not choke from the dust. And the Lord said, put your hand on the ground and break that curse in the name of Jesus. And by the time we got back over here, corn was starting to grow where there was just solid dirt so hard you couldn't see anything growing but little tufts of grass every now and then. And I'm telling you, the power of God is going to do it for them. Amen? So I'm needing some emergency help in these areas for them as well as for those that we're doing there in Kenya. And the bags of maize, the 50-kilo bags are around $20, which is extremely high. But this, to feed all of the churches and get them 10 bags of maize to get them through, is about $6,000. We have 10 children's centers and partners support with Eat 100, and we are helping them. But to do that, we need to be at $12,000 overall in our Eat 100 folks. Plus nursing education. Miss Suzanne has already, we've helped to send some money her direction. And again, some of us have taken that on to give a little bit. She is in nursing school. She is one that has come up through that they are counting on. And they are doing their very best to help there in Blantyre as she is going to school. Her semester is $700. She is going into her second year as to become a nurse. And that pays very well. She wants to be able to make money and give back to the church where she was just at. She is sharp. She is very, very intelligent. And we would like to help Miss Suzanne. If we can get some business partners or partners that help Suzanne, be greatly appreciative. Our first payment for this semester is by the 7th, I believe. She's got to have something that way. Plus, the Miracle Church, where the miracles broke out, they are building a new church. They've got a lot of bricks already over. We've helped them move over the bricks, and we just need another $2,000 to help them build their brand new church, because since we were there, the size of the church has tripled. Because the pastor is working and they are praying. People are being delivered. People are being set free. And they keep telling the testimonies of what took place upon those days in Malawi. Hallelujah. How the men got up that couldn't walk. And how the blind have seen. And the power of Jesus that's there. And now, praise the Lord, they are huge in that. Praise God. We'll show some pictures. Hallelujah. This was just the crossover service where 450 folks, they had to put out two of these large tents and plus some, 450 of our members did make it to come to the crossover New Year's Eve celebration. Hallelujah for Eagle Heights Worship Center, Malawi. The Pastor's Training Center, 27 of the pastors plus Bishop Chris, so that's 28, were able to make it to the training session that I held via Zoom. These are your Malawi pastors, as well as those that are doubling. Some of them have one church in Malawi and a church across the border in Mozambique. Hallelujah. They are trying to get the gospel everywhere. And the home that you see is the one that we're finishing up. That's Bishop Chris's home. He said, by the time I get it finished, you get over here, Papa, your team is gonna have air conditioning, running water, and so on. You're not going to have to stay in those motels and drive 6 hours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the bottom left is the picture of the service that Prophetess had with the women. And this other picture is one of our brand new churches in the outer lying area and their children as they are coming to Christ. And would you give God praise? Hallelujah. This is what we do with our Eat 100 money as we feed the children and we have them come. They know about Jesus. They know about the things of Christ. And look at how happy they are to get just a ball of that. What is that, Joseph, that they're eating, that ball of white mazy stuff? What is that? Tagali. Praise the Lord. And did I say it right? Bugali. And basically it's just like a white maize dough, isn't it? Cornmeal paste. Hallelujah. And they are happy to get it from Eagle Heights Worship Center. It's a treat for them. Woo, glory to God. Here is one of the young gals as we were giving out school supplies to multiply. I don't have time to put all the pictures of it. Here is one of our children of many in a starving area that we were able to bring through Bishop Chris. There is him passing out. He also gets backpacks and things and boxes, Christmas boxes from Ireland and from other different organizations. And he said, pray, Papa, because we need the money come in. Christmas has been delayed. We want to help 4,500 children like we did last year with Christmas boxes? How many will believe that what's been delayed will be received in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. And that's not coming from us. That's coming from another organization that comes in euros. Praise the Lord, because it's from Europe. Hallelujah. Also, for those that have heard of Pastor Garza in Mexico, we have affiliated with Pastor Garza for many, many years. And we are thankful that Apostle Fred Pine went down for 20-some years and built many churches, even physically, with his hands. They have outlying churches, more than 20 churches right now, that are helped to see and go into with over 650 members. One of our business partners, which is partnered here to send here, we thank God for Kuntz Motors, which is a motor dealership in another state that blesses Brother Garza with $500 a month directly to missions. Would you give God praise for business partners? Of course, some of the challenges are transportation, avoiding the drug cartel so that he can still bring supplies to the poor churches. And what we'll see is Pastor Garza, who's nearing 70, around 70 years old, cannot be stopped, is still preaching. He'll preach in all these outlying areas. He'll preach wherever that there's a door, and he'll see things happen. This church here on the left is one of the ones that Apostle Fred Pine helped to build, and they got the roof was tore off by a storm, and they got the roof back on. Also, in another area, this is the altar call of people crying out before the Lord. Here is the monies. He also feeds the pastors that are there, plus another church that was built that they're praising God. He is a go-getter. All of these precious men of God are great go-getters, and they are doing and spreading the gospel. I'm here to tell you that the Lord said to his disciples, go ye into all the world, because he needed the message to go. He needed the fire to go. He needed the supernatural to go. He needed the love of Jesus to go. He needed everything that God had to get to people that had never known Jesus. But I'm going to show you a miracle. I remember when it was hard to get $100 a month from our church for missions. And I want to thank God. Eagle Heights Worship Center, this was your total giving, and business partners and E100 partners both here and afar. Our total missions contributions in 2021. It's a coming. Turn to somebody and say, what? What? This is what happens when a people also go outside of the church building and go and present to folks. That, like Brother Dave going and doing the cookies for all these 30-plus months, and he's gotten money from folks that never done this door, that have never come inside of here. Matter of fact, a blind man has bought hundreds of dollars worth of cookies just to give them away to somebody, and the blind man don't even eat cookies. All because of the prophetic word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And somebody who will work it. Work it, work it, work it. So I'm asking that we believe God and set our target amount for $36,000 for this to be a year by getting fundraisers and organizations and businesses. If you would like to be a part, not only as a part of E100 and giving to missions, if you would like to be a part of that, we're going to be getting together and finding out ways to raise money to help for these pressing needs. How many would like to be able to see those bags of food get there to those churches in the outlying areas where we need to get it most desperately, at the very least? Amen. Praise the Lord. Give God praise. We've asked in the E100, we've asked for 100 partners. We have about 23 to 28, depending upon those particular months. But I'm so thankful for our partners right here. If you are an E100 partner and you are giving on a monthly basis and have done so faithfully and as faithfully as often as you can, and you've given more than the $20 and stuff, would you stand to your feet? I want to acknowledge and I want to appreciate those that have given to E100. Lift up your hands to heaven. Lift up your hands, all these E100 partners. I'm thankful you brought smiles to faces. You brought food to the hungry, clothing to the naked. There's treasure in heaven. If you don't even get to make the trip, there's going to be folks that meet you in heaven and are going to run up to you because it's going to be beaming on you that you were one of the ones that made it happen. And I'm thankful for you. Hallelujah. And those that have given to missions in some capacity here in the church, would you also stand if you've given to missions in some capacity? I want to thank you. Would you reach up? You don't know what lives that you've saved. But just in the last month, more than 60 souls have come to Christ in our churches, and more so will come in this month as they are making a renewal for revival, going door-to-door evangelism, going in the outlying areas. We're going to keep feeding. We're going to keep helping. And the power of God is going to keep moving. Hallelujah. Would you celebrate what God is doing from our church as we go into all the world? Spirit of the living God, I want to thank you, Lord, for people that are helping us. I want to thank you, Lord, that from this place, you spoke a word. We believed it. We received it. We acted on it. And you helped us supernaturally. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you also give us churches, covenant churches that are connected with us, that'll make this a part of their missions program as well. I'm asking, Lord, that you also speak to businessmen and women that we speak to, and that they too will have a heart to give and to help us that direction. Lord, we're thankful for the smiles that are upon the faces of those that had not smiled. We're thankful, Lord, for those now that understand the richness of being connected to Christ through an apostolic mantle and with a prophetic people. Lord, I'm grateful for Eagle Heights Worship Center, the miracle that you have made. And the miracle you've done. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for the time. You also send me additional monies to take a team over again in the near future, over again, to visit all that we can visit and to have collective meetings and to do the things that you have willed and called to do in Africa. We are so grateful and thankful for all those in Africa and Mexico that are being touched by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep our pastors strong. Keep them healthy in the name of Jesus. Raise up folks that will help them. Raise up others that will give to them. Raise up those that will join them. And we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Would you give God a praise? Glory to God. Lord, just shifting just for a few moments. We want to pray and encourage the Sullins family and the Bear family as this Tuesday we will have the memorial service for the life, the precious life of Greg Sullins, who has gone on to be with the Lord. We have Miss Terry with us. For those that don't know, this is Pastor Jason's mama. Hallelujah. And we're glad that she's here with us. Would you just stretch forth your hands her direction? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, even as we walk with you as faithful believers and Christians, there's times, Lord, that we say goodbye to some of those and they go on before us. But Lord, I just ask for your strength, your grace, your comfort, Lord, for Miss Terry, Lord, as life changes from here, that, Lord, you will be with her closer than ever before. That, Lord, you will be with the family, kids and grandkids and all of those, Lord, that are now missing someone so dear to them that they love so much, so greatly. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for the comfort of the Holy Spirit, for the love of our Lord Jesus, and for the support group of God's people all around. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God praise. And we want to thank God for each and every one of you that are showing your love and bringing in supplies and things. I've never seen Miss Gigi look like a pack mule like this morning. She was loaded down, hallelujah, with food, taking it to the vehicle. And if we've got tons back here, they may have to drive around and load up the trunk. I don't know. I saw some other food coming in upon today. Praise the Lord. And thank you so much for showing love, the direction to help with that and help with meals and extra things that way, as we have showing love to those. As you've done this unto our brothers and sisters, you've done it unto me. Some of you don't know, but you just prepared a meal for Jesus. How do I know? Because he'll be sitting at the table with Miss Terry, comforting her. Hallelujah. Ain't God good? Now, you don't have to shout and scream to have miracles. Sometimes you do, whatever he's asking. Sometimes you're in the glory of worship and miracles happen. Sometimes they happen in the exchange of love. In the exchange of love. And in that, could we stand to our feet? And I know that many that haven't given will have a chance to give. And if you're giving online to help us with our missions, you can do so. If you know some business people that would like to be a part of this, a vetted places and organization to be able to help, it'll be a great pleasure for you to do so. But right now, would you just go around to sing a song and just bless them? Just bless them as we sing a song, and it will be done. Love lifted me when nothing else would help. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Would have love lifted me. Love lifted me. Oh, love lifted me. When nothing else would have love lifted me. Lifted me, oh, love lifted me, oh, love lifted me. Where nothing else could have, love lifted me. Lifted me, yes, love lifted me. When nothing else could help,
Love lifted me. Oh, love lifted me.
Oh, yes, you did.
Love lifted me. When nothing else could have,
it's always brighter when love fills the room. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Eagle Heights Worship Center. Thank you for the miracles you're making happen here and abroad. Thank you. Thank you to our partners. Thank you to those who will join us. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for the seed that is coming into our lives that we can be a blessing to so many others. We give you praise, honor, and glory. And Lord, we give you praise for that international fire and glory that's going to come up where we can fly my sons over here. Hallelujah. Fly people over to be a part of it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Miss Selena, come on.